Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show. I'm not going to go into the regular intro today. Why? Because we're changing it up. Is your mic on, Tosh?
No.
Now it's on. Come on, it's all right.
Because we're changing it up.
What's this, amateur hour?
I decided to change it up because I think we need a little bit different intro.
Oh, okay.
A shorter one. But yeah. Well, I'm going to write it out another time.
Okay.
How are you guys today?
I'm good.
Great.
Is your... Terrell, why can't I hear you well, man? This is like amateur hour.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
No, I can.
Can you hear me?
You always... I can hear.
Yeah.
Because of your bass voice. I'll start with this, though. I am TJ Jackson, and I'm sitting here with my middle brother, Terrell.
What's up, everyone?
And I got my eldest brother, Taj.
Yo, what's up?
And we don't have too much planned for today, but we have something that I think all of us wanted to discuss. We talked about earlier today the importance of Martin Luther King. Here in the States, it should be a worldwide holiday. I'm not sure if it is. Taj, do you know that?
No, I do not know that.
But here in the States, every year... Taj, this is sad. I should know this, and I should ask you, Terrell. Is it a specific day? Yes. Or is it the Monday?
It's the Monday. Monday. Yeah, but he was born on the 15th.
Of January.
Yes.
So we celebrate it close to that Monday, I guess?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like the third Monday of the month, maybe? But for us in the States, there is no bigger hero, in my opinion, than Martin Luther King. And I remember as a youngster growing up and celebrating Martin Luther King every year in school.
I'd say junior, too, by the way.
Martin Luther King Jr. But as I get older, I start to really appreciate and get amazed by what he did for us. Not only as, you know, us three who are our fathers African-American, so we consider ourselves black, but not for us three black people, but really for the country as a whole, all minorities, and even, you know, just pretty much everyone. He really opened up, I think, and changed the world, because I think where most people would fight against something, you know, prejudice and oppression, he fought it, but in a really civil and quiet way. In my opinion, stronger way. So I asked you guys not too long ago, so I didn't give you guys that much warning, but I asked you guys, I thought we would share our favorite Martin Luther King quote before we go into today's topic. Terrell's looking at me like it's a pop quiz. A quote, Terrell?
Yeah, there's so many.
There's a lot.
I'd try to pick one that was a little different from what I thought you guys would pick. But it also, I think it ties in well with our foundation and things we talk about as far as loss and grief. And the quote is, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And that says a lot to me. Life goes on. You have to keep moving. And you just don't stand still. You gotta keep pushing forward.
No matter the loss, no matter the trip, no matter the obstacle, you gotta keep moving forward.
You have to. And just reading that, you know, it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true. You have to keep moving forward.
I love it.
Yeah.
Taj Jackson.
Yes.
Do you have a quote? You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm about to say. Do you have a quote?
Yes, I do have a quote. I tweeted this on Twitter, obviously, during Martin Luther King that Monday. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That was probably one of my favorite quotes in general.
Was that one you were going to say?
Yeah.
See, I knew that. That's why I picked the one I did. I love that quote as well.
Yeah.
See, but I knew that.
Hey, you wanted me to go first.
I knew that. I knew that.
That was the
well,
one.
Let's talk yeah, about exactly. that.
Go ahead.
Since we both like that quote very much.
What is it for you, Todd?
For me, it's a guy that, you know, it's a powerful quote in general, but the fact that he practiced what he preached as well, you know, in terms of that, it is very true. Like, the first reaction that you have is, you know, when there's hate is, you know, is to be, you know, to counter it by being aggressive. But what he's saying is basically love will counter hate. And it's something that I've lived by, you know, with that and mm-hmm. the darkness and the light. It rang very true to me in that way. And I think that's the thing. I think more people need to follow that quote than ever.
It's a very powerful quote.
It's a very powerful quote. And, you know, I didn't know where that quote came from, you know, and for I think the last 2 years is when I finally realized it. But it's very much what I stand by.
I feel like that quote's always going to be kind of like an underdog quote. Is that because of our obsession, at least our American obsession with violence and guns and shooting? And, you know, it's hard to promote light. That concept of being positive and being nice and light can actually change the dark side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell. I don't know if it's just our country, but I think that, you know, I think some people see it as a sign of weakness sometimes when you don't fight fire with fire. And, you know, what he's really saying is you fight fire with, you know, with love, basically, you know, with water. Like, so I don't know. I just, to me, it's a very symbolic quote, and it's very much needed in today's world.
Yeah. So that was my quote, but while you were talking, I found another quote.
Oh,
to
did
be
you?
A little different.
Okay.
Yeah, as the youngest brother, you have to do that a lot. You have to adapt.
You get the hand-me-downs.
You get the hand-me-downs. But you know what? This quote actually is, I think, an incredibly strong one and can stand on its own.
Okay.
And when I started looking up quotes, I was actually amazed at how many great quotes he has. Who would you say is second in the quote? Muhammad Ali has some good quotes too, right?
Yes.
Anyone else, you guys, before I get to mine?
There's a lot of great quotes out there, man. I'm not going to say that. Yeah, there's a lot of great quotes.
Okay, I'm going to say tied for favorite quote is, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase.
I saw that one too.
You saw that one?
Yes.
It's just great because that's, I think, exactly what it is. I think it's right on the nail. Hits the head right on the nail. And what I loved about all three of our quotes, it deals with suffering. Mm-hmm. It deals with loss. It deals with overcoming. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of another person who's more embodies that than MLK Jr.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You guys have anything to say about that quote?
No,
quote?
It goes back to hope.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have hope and move forward and know that things are going to be okay.
So I think the something to preach to is, if you're dealing with any type of suffering or loss, don't be afraid to turn to MLK. You know, no one, I think, in our history really dealt with loss the best. No one handled it better than Mr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I think that's why his legacy will live forever, is because he handled it with class, strength, and really overcame. So, and what I love about his quotes, they're very broad. They can apply to any type of loss, any type of grief. It really can. So he's just a strong one to follow. So we're live here on the Power of Love show. And if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we're going to open it up to taking phone calls, always via Twitter. Taj, the Twitter, do you know it?
Yes, it's DDJ Foundation.
DDJ Foundation. And we're going to be opening up our phone lines too. So if you want to call us and chime in and contribute to today's show, make sure you call us at 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. And if you're just discovering our show and want to learn more about our foundation, please make sure you go to our website, www.ddjf.org. Terry, you want to do it? It was not bad, right? Do you want to do a basic disclaimer? I know I didn't properly prepare like you guys with your
disclaimers.
You want me to just do it?
Yeah, I never know.
Okay. Well, we're not licensed therapists. We're just three ordinary people. Why are you laughing, Terrell?
Because you always ask me to do it, and you always say I don't like doing it.
We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, and we've been impacted by it. Really, as everyone, we're no different, and we're learning how to navigate through this. So we're here to share our opinions and what we've learned and try to make the battle a little easier for you, because everyone deals with loss, everyone deals with grief, and it's not an easy road. Taj.
Yes. That's me.
That is you. Did you... You know, before I get to you, Taj, I do that too much, too. I like tease the audience, I think. I like to go to you, but then I realize you probably don't have much to offer, so I better just keep it moving.
I'm going to be like Martin Luther King. And
But I wanted to read... I found an article, actually. It's called What Martin Luther King's Daughter Has to Say About Grief.
Mm.
It's pretty interesting, right?
That is.
Okay, so when Martin Luther King's daughter was... When Martin Luther King was assassinated, his daughter was just 5 years old. Dr. Bernice King is her name. And she dealt with a lot of loss. There's an amazing Pulitzer Prize-winning photo of her on the lap of Miss Coretta King, you know, Martin's wife and her mother. At the funeral, and you could just see a child who lost their world, you know, and like any famous person, you know, we as the public likes to, you know, we lose a figure, but we forget about sometimes there's an immediate family who loses their world, you know, and it's a Pulitzer Prize winning photo that I recommend you check out because you can see the loss she has. But what a lot of people don't realize is that a year after Martin Luther King was assassinated, his brother, so her uncle, died unexpectedly in a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the uncle was like the surrogate father once Martin passed. So she had to deal with a second grief,
right,
pretty much immediately after. And there ended up being like three more losses to her by the time she was 18, 19, grandparents and cousins and uncles. That she really got to a place where she was really numb in her head, you know? And she has something that's pretty interesting that she said to her mother at the time when she was just a young... I think she was just 6 or 7 when she said this. But, she, you know, this is an exact quote because I'm sure she doesn't remember, but this is what she says in the article. "I didn't talk to my mom because my mom had an extraordinary calling on her life that I'm grateful for today. But at that time, as a kid, it was like, no, I want my mom. But I felt uncomfortable disrupting her. It was like I need to let her do what she is doing. So I'm just here alone processing all of this." And what was so interesting to me was that, you know, I think a lot of kids are really resilient and strong naturally. But I think it's also our job as the adults and as their loved ones to watch after them and to kind of read between the lines, because some kids aren't going to talk, most kids aren't going to talk and really express how they truly feel from loss. So I think us adults, we need to, you know, reach out. And I don't know if I should, the whole article is really strong.
I'm going to post a link or something.
Yeah, I'll post the link, but the whole article is, it's a really strong article. Basically about how she developed anger with all these losses because she didn't feel she had the proper outlet. And she talks about the culture she grew up in, how it was really not that, yeah, I guess the proper word would be to shun. They didn't really know how to handle grief. And I guess they kind of looked at it as like, you got to get over it. You know, you got to stay strong and move on, you know? And she never felt like she got the proper tools to grieve. And that's what she does with a lot of her spare time is to help kids and teenagers who are dealing with it. You know, and she talks about how she would kind of lash out. She had an angst teenage years because of it. So,
wow.
You guys got anything to say real quick?
No, it's so tough.
Mm-hmm.
It just really is. It's hard enough losing someone, but everything that you have to encounter moving forward is difficult. There's a lot of anger. We've spoken about that mm-hmm. before. There's anger. There is a sense of lost, you know, of loss of not only are they not there, but your whole world has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things that you're accustomed to doing are, you know, you just have to, a lot of things change.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out how to move forward from that point on, you know. For instance, with us losing Mom, you know, she did everything for us, and we were still young men at the time, and
yeah.
you know, we had to learn how to get by and do things for ourselves.
I really feel like our society as a whole really needs to respect the grieving process more and do more for it. Dr. King, Bernice King, she's a doctor as well, the daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., she has a quote that says, "I really believe that a large percentage of the crime and delinquency we see in our society is due to a lack of proper grieving on the part of these young lives." And I think we would both agree, all three of us would agree, that that's very accurate. Mm-hmm. It's very true, you mm-hmm. know, and if we as a society put more efforts and more focus on learning how to give kids tools on how to grieve properly, I think we would really, you know, minimize or really lower any delinquency and issues kids have. And the last quote I'll read from Miss Dr. King is, "As a nation, I surmise that we do not grieve enough. And in many respects, I would say that many of our issues that we are challenged with in society is a direct result of a lack of grieving." So we'll put that link up. It's a great little article on basically her journey through life, dealing with a lot of loss and what she feels about it. So now, Taj.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, we asked you about you having your own little segment, but we didn't know what to call it.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of great Twitter feedback. I've seen Taj's thoughts, Taj's rant. Any other ones that you...
I've seen a couple. Taj's Truth, the Taj Exchange,
mm-hmm.
Tell It Taj.
Tell It Taj. I like that one. I haven't heard that one. So which one do you like?
I still haven't decided yet. This is not an easy decision. This is very important.
Terrell, do you want to chime in?
Me? No, just that last one made me think about Soulja Boy. Tell him.
Soulja Boy.
Why would
tell
you do? Oh, jeez.
That's what made me think of.
Taj, you have one?
No.
Okay, so we got to figure that out, and then we got to do like some. Terrell, you want to be in charge of doing some like a music intro for that?
Yeah, I'll put some
like a 5-second little snippet. So look at me.
What kind of music do you want? You want nice?
We'll talk about it off
angry?
Air.
No.
All right, so you guys heard it. Terrell's gonna put a little music intro, 5-second little thing for it.
5 seconds is. Okay.
Or three to 5 seconds, a little thing where I could play it when we're about to go into the segment.
Okay.
We're building this thing, right, Taj?
Yes, we're building this thing.
I like Tell It Taj.
That is kind of nice.
So, do you want to go on? Because I talk to both of you guys all the time, but I talked to Taj earlier today about what we wanted to talk about on today's show, and he said he had a lot of things
to get off his chest. That's a thing.
So do you want to do one of your Tell It Taj without the music for the last time? Because Terrell's going to hook us up.
Gosh, there's so many that I want to save some of these. Let's talk. I got a good. I should roll a dice.
All right. How many do you have, really?
I have about 8.
Okay, so you're going to save 8. Now, if I pick a number, would that work?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go
You don't have one in particular you want to go with right now? Okay, pick
another
TJ.
Three.
Well, this is...
So this edition of Tell It Taj.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick before we... I know this is on air and all this stuff. Is this... Like, are we going to discuss this and all this stuff? Or am I just saying it and then
No, you're going to say your point and we're going to discuss it. And we have our phone lines open. 323-203-0815.
You picked the right number.
It's going to come out of this guy's
mouth. This one, it's not really a rant, though.
Oh, well, let's tell it.
Basically, it's Can a Man Cry? And I was watching President Obama still. Mm-hmm. You know,
one more day, right?
Yeah. Two more, I think. Well,
yeah, two more. Yeah.
His farewell address. And when he was talking about his wife, Michelle, his kid, was it both of them that he was talking about? He was talking about his family, and he started tearing up, basically.
You're the one watching it. You're the one supposed to be paying attention.
Hey, man, I got a little emotional, too. That's the problem. But he started tearing up, and you know, I was looking into it, and he's teared up, they said, like 8 times since his presidency, you know.
8 times over the 8 years.
Over the 8 years, and over those 8 years, he's received some backlash because he's supposed to be this figure, this American figure, the quote-unquote most powerful man in the world, and he's, you know, some people see crying as a sign of weakness. Mm. And that was something that really bothered me because as men ourselves, you know, I think there's a stigma that you're told, you know, real men don't cry, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's farthest from the truth, but it's a stigma that I live with, you know? Yeah. I have to feel like, you know, to be strong, you can't cry. And that's why with Terrell over there, he knew I was coming to him. Terrell over there, I actually respect him a lot. And I always say that when he starts crying, I say, you know, you have an emotion that I wish I had in terms of that way. And it's not that I wish I had that freedom to cry.
Yeah.
And I've done some research on it. See, I do some research for this.
I'm impressed. And, I'm not going to lie. I'm shocked.
I'm not alone on this in terms of it. And they say that kids up until the age of 12, both boys and girls cry equally.
Mm.
But after the age of 12, they basically, it's, you know, it's not that women skyrocket. It's more that guys suppress their feelings because they feel like they have to be the man now or they have to be, you know, tough or whatever it is. But, you know, you have to realize, is this doing more damage than good? Because, you know, men also have a higher suicide rate than women.
Mm.
And so it's like suppressing feelings and suppressing emotions. Is that something that's, you know, so dangerous? And, you know, obviously we're not licensed, as you guys say, but this is something that's personal and something that also is, I don't want to say obvious, but you can look around and see this, that that it's a problem. So,
Taj, that's actually really
I was taking a deep breath because I was going to say, Taj, I'm actually impressed.
I don't know why you always say that. You say that every week that you're surprised or depressed.
I'm impressed. You know, I really respect your role.
You must have a low bar for me.
I'm really, no, because I think you hit on something very strong. I think that was a very strong case. I didn't know men commit suicide at a higher rate as female. And you would think it's actually the other way around because I think females get more, I don't want to say abuse, but more harassment. Mm-hmm. That's the word, because of, you know, image and you know, body and makeup and all that stuff. So I would have thought women, you know, committed suicide at a higher rate. But I think that you're onto something. I think it's the lack of being able to show your emotions and let it out, you know? We're going to take a phone call. Hello there. Yes. Who do we have?
This is TJ.
This is TJ. Who's this on the phone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on air because I'm listening to the radio show. But yeah, the questions came in crying.
Yeah. What's your opinion on that?
May I speak to Tyrell, please?
Yeah, he's here too. We're all listening to you.
Hi, Tyrell.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sorry to be this way. I just wanted to say hi to you.
That's you know what? What's your comment on are men allowed to cry?
Men cry, yes. I think it's okay for men to cry because I hate to talk y'all under the bus, but a long time ago I saw a video of y'all crying at the concert. I don't know why y'all was crying, but y'all was very moved, I guess, by the audience.
Uh-huh.
And me growing up, I never thought men was weak for crying because my dad was a very strong, he was like one of those macho manly men, you know what I mean? Those type of guys.
Uh-huh.
And he would cry and he would, my little brother would cry and he wouldn't yell at him for crying. So I always seen that as just being normal.
That's great.
Does that make any sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, that's.
Yeah, I think that's thank you so much for that call. Because let me ask you a question real quick. How old is your brother now?
He's not a good example. I'm sorry. He's 36. He's in prison.
Okay.
He's not 36. He's 30. We 2 years apart, so he's probably 34.
Okay.
And yeah, he didn't. I don't know what made him go the wrong track, but he was bad since he was little. Like,
yeah.
I don't, because my dad raised us, like, he was one of those solid dads that was a father figure in our life.
Yeah.
And he was there until he passed away, so I can't explain my brother.
Well, when did your father pass away?
I was 11, and he had to be maybe 8 or 9.
Well,
but he was always in, my brother was always in trouble.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but
my dad couldn't really stop him from being in trouble. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah, well.
But I do, we have, it's nine of us, but only my older sister, me, and my little brother grew up with my dad and mom. The rest was already grown.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't know you too well, just from this phone call, but I'm going to think that your younger brother's struggles has something to do with your father's passing.
Oh, yeah, he still tripped. Yeah, we all struggled with it. Like,
yeah.
It really broke the family, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the younger kids didn't know, like y'all were saying earlier, all three of y'all understood that, like, we didn't have real guidance when our dad left.
Mm-hmm.
Our mom is kind of dealing with schizophrenia, so it was kind of depending on my cousins and my older uncles to raise us.
Yeah,
to have that father figure.
Yeah, yeah, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. And we were really blessed to have a great support system and a huge family, you know, that I don't know. We just got, you know, we're blessed to have what we had, but I feel for those who don't, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, people learned that, you know, and I know I feel for your brother, actually, you know, I feel for
yeah,
the
I
struggles
do too.
Because I really think your father's passing has something, even though he may have been Bebe when he was younger. I think, you know, he may win even a different, you know, he may eventually came out of that, you know. But going back to what your original point was with your father crying, I think that's was a great thing for your family, you know, because as a man, we are sensitive. We have emotions. And when we can, when we could display that and have people like you, you know, a woman who accepts it and doesn't judge from it, it makes life for us much easier. So I thank you on behalf of the men.
Because I hear a lot of people, like, I was lucky growing up seeing that, because a lot of people do say that's a weakness, like you're supposed to be strong, and you do think men are stronger than you, but it's okay for y'all to cry too. I mean, you got emotions.
I love it. What's your name?
Deidre. This me.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Awesome phone call. Take care of yourself, okay?
I will. Bye, Tyrell.
Bye. Yeah, I love it.
I think, you know, obviously, I'm going to defend the crying.
No, go for it.
No, you're supposed to.
Well, the thing is I feel if you don't cry, okay, here's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Everybody on this earth cries. They have the ability to cry. If you weren't supposed to cry, you wouldn't be crying. You know what I mean? So I think men who, it's sad because you should be able to cry because you have that feeling. You're suppressing your emotions otherwise, you know, and that creates more damage in the future. Now, I know it's not always, and this is the thing, this goes back to what you were saying, it's not the best look to cry. You know what I mean? It doesn't, quote unquote, make you look like a man because it does seem like you're being weak. But again, I don't know if that's what society has put on us. You know what I mean? But crying to me shows that there's feelings. There's love. There's attachment. You know, I don't just cry because I want to cry. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
No, I agree with that. I think that there's certain places that, quote unquote, are acceptable for men to cry in terms of society, and that's what's wrong.
Where?
Funerals. You know, like if it's depending on how attached they were to someone, you know. But even then, I think, you know, when you're a man, you're like trying not to cry. You know, but you know, at funerals, I would say, you know, that's when I saw pops cry, you know, for mom and stuff like that. At her funeral, sports. Unfortunately, when you win the championship, there's a lot of crying there, and you know,
there's crying in defeat too,
and crying in defeat.
Yeah.
But it's like, those are sporadic times, and we don't see enough you know.
But you know what? I think when, in sports in particular, it's kind of forgiven because
That's what I'm saying.
As a warrior, you gave everything to this goal.
But that's what I'm saying.
And you either achieved it or lost it. So as a man, it's like that's how you want your favorite athlete to be.
If they don't cry, you're like, you didn't
care. Why aren't you crying?
Man, you didn't really want it.
That's like the one time we want a man to cry is an athlete.
To show how much he wanted it. And that's what's wrong with it. I think that there definitely should be times that you should feel comfortable crying as a man. And, as you know, there's a lot of strong women out there that feel that... Or I shouldn't say strong. There's a lot of women that feel that... Well, everyone feels strength is by not crying, which is not true.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of strength in crying.
No, there's... Here's the thing. I think there's different types of crying.
Look at the Jordan meme. You know, the crying Jordan. That's what I'm saying. The crying Jordan. That's a perfect
but
point.
But you know what? Kim has a crying meme that, you know, so I think it's just the face that people are laughing at.
But that's wrong.
All right, we're going to take one more phone call. Who do we have on the phone right now?
Hello?
Hello, who is this?
Oh, hi. I'm Ebony.
How are you, Ebony?
Hi.
Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I didn't think I'd get through today.
what's your opinion on men crying? What's your thoughts?
Oh, well, honestly, I think it's okay because, like Terrell was saying, like...
Did we lose? And I didn't touch anything.
I looked right at you.
His eyes
I looked at your hands and everything. I was like,
I'm looking out the window, ready to listen to Ebony. Ebony,
she
we
is
lost.
Innocent this time.
I'm innocent.
Call back. Yeah. But you know what it is? I think most women are going to say it's okay for men to cry. I think it's the men.
But they need to. Men need to hear that too, because the society says it's not. And
what is that from? From the old, even up until like Conan the Barbarian.
I think
like,
it's just you being raised.
It's how you were raised.
You know, get back out there, stop being a crybaby. Yeah. You know, whatever it might be.
They say that the modern man is 2 times likely more to cry in, you know, in public than the father was.
Okay, so this generation
is learning to cry more in terms of
why.
Because they're seeing it probably more often, and they're seeing it's okay. I mean. Even it goes down to entertainment, TV, you know, there's on shows. We've seen more guys crying on TV shows.
You know what? I'm going to say I don't think men are crying more. I think they're holding it back less.
That's a good point because that's also
study. I think that's
they're not
what
doing
it
privately.
They're holding it back.
Yeah.
You know, because they're crying, they're just holding it back. So they're crying inside.
Yeah.
And you're saying today's man is starting to let go. Yeah.
But they're crying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's great. So we're at least going the right way.
We're going the right way. Yeah. And definitely going the right way. I just think that that's something that needed to be brought up because it's, you know, it's not where it needs to be in terms of that.
All right. We haven't got Ebony, but we have another phone call. Who do we have on the line? Hello.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is April.
How are you, April?
I'm good. How are you, TJ? Hi, Terrell. Hi, Taj.
Hey, hi, April. How's it going?
I'm good. I just want to add to the conversation concerning guys being able to cry. Mm-hmm. My thing is I feel like men should be able to cry because that's why you have so many guys that, you know, turn to drugs and alcohol. Because they, you know, build everything up inside and they feel like that's the only way, you know, you're supposed to deal with everything. And I'm like, I feel like it should be something taught to guys as, you know, as little boys that it's okay that you can, you know, let your tears show. Because, you know, growing up, I was always told that guys shouldn't cry. You know, it's a manly thing. It's a macho thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're not supposed to do that. That makes you feel weak or look weak. So to me, I feel like, you know, it's something that should be taught nowadays for guys as they're young. Oh, it's okay for you to, you know, show your tears. You know, let them know that you do have feelings.
So let me
it's not making you.
Let me ask you this. Truthfully, if you're on a date, if you're on a date. And the date's going great. You're at dinner. And the man just kind of starts breaking down and crying a bit. Tell me truthfully. Are you thinking less of him? Or truthfully.
What if you guys are at a movie? Let's say a movie. And you're watching a movie. Okay. The movie, he starts to cry. He gets emotional and he starts to cry.
Is that a plus or negative?
Well, it depends on how he does it. Because if he just starts bursting out, you know, tearing, okay, I'm thinking, okay, something must be wrong with him then. But if it's like tears, you know, small tears coming down, I'm like, okay, yeah, he's emotional. Man. That's fine with me. So it just depends on how he does it, you know.
So there's a limit.
But I wouldn't think.
Uh-huh. There's a limit. How much? He could cry, but there's just a limit. He can't cry too much.
I love that.
Well, if he cries a little too much, then I'm thinking, okay, something must be wrong. You know, maybe he has some issues there. He might have some kind of, you know, health issue, because, you know, it is a health issue where you cry, you just burst out for no reason. So, yeah, I would be thinking something is wrong there. So, but if it's just tears, you know, coming down.
But here's the thing. What if you guys are watching a movie and whatever it is he's watching takes him back to a personal situation that he's still dealing with, loss, grief, whatever, and it connects him to that moment, and he's having tears.
I'm going to piggyback off what she said. I think on a first date, that's kind of a warning.
Yeah.
But if you know the guy, and you know, this is kind of abnormal out of his character to burst and cry, then it's okay to kind of dig in and see if a chord was you know, struck. But on a first date, I'm not gonna lie, you know, whether it's a man,
that's
or
why you should see a comedy.
Yeah, well, man or female, you know, if you're with a date and you know she's there and all of a sudden she's bursting into crying uncontrollably, you know, for 10 minutes,
that means pain.
Yeah, so it is a little loss. You know, it's, you want to see what's going on, you know. But thank you so much for that phone call. That was definitely the most fun I've had on a phone call since we started the show.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much. Was there anything else you wanted to say before I let you go?
Can I add a quote, since you were talking about Martin Luther King today?
Absolutely.
It's a quote that, you know, sticks with me, because that's, to me, it speaks to me as well. If it's okay, it's a quick one.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The time is always right to do what is right. I love that. That quote is just speaks to me all the time.
Love
it. Incredible.
Now, truthfully, did you remember it or you just read it?
Well, I remembered it, but at the same time, I had to write it down a little bit, because I couldn't remember the whole thing, but I know parts of it.
Yeah, you want to
truthfully.
Do it right. Got it. Okay, cool.
That's great.
Well, April, thank you so much for your phone call.
And thanks for listening.
Okay, and thank you. For love all your you support. Guys.
We love you too. Be safe out there, all right?
Thanks, April.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Bye bye.
That was great.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah, it was.
It's a good phone call. All right, Ebony, we have you back,
Ebony's
right?
Back.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
I'm so sorry.
You went through a tunnel or elevator, didn't you?
No.
So what happened?
I did not. I'm at home. I'm not in the car.
Okay. All right. What's going on? You were about to say something about men crying.
I was saying that I think it's okay for men to cry, because if you suppress those emotions, they're only going to come out in a more, you know, damaging way. So, like you were saying earlier, like, it was only going to do more damage than good.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
So,
I feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah. With my late father, I mean, he was tough and all that, but he wasn't afraid to show his emotions. And I'll admit, I didn't see him cry that many times, but, you know,
see, I
wasn't afraid to let out.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, and this is just me wondering, if you're a father with daughters only, are you more, you know, do you feel the freedom to cry more, you know, out to them than
a son?
Yeah, then if you have a son and you're supposed to be a macho person.
That's wrong.
I know, but I'm just saying, I wonder if there's, you know, correlation with that, with having, you know, daughter, because, you know, you're trying to teach her that it's okay to cry and show emotion. I don't know that.
Well, you know, I think maybe having a daughter, you just kind of, you don't have that added burden to be tough for your son or show him what a man is like, you know? So you just naturally let it go. As Terrell was saying earlier, we're more obliged to just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, And it's just, it's not, well, I guess it is the word stereotype, mm-hmm. of what a man's supposed to be. You know, it's what we either see on TV or films or from a figure, you know, that
I mean, what city are you calling from?
I'm calling from Beaumont, Texas.
Beaumont, Texas. Okay, we have a couple phone calls. My screen is lit up from Beaumont, Texas. So I was wondering where we're striking the chord. So it's pretty cool. Well, thank you so much, Ebony, for your phone call and for chiming in.
And thanks for calling back.
Well, thank you. Right, I'm sorry about that, by the way.
Oh, good. No worries. We got you. No worries.
You know.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. What I was going to say is I feel like there's different categories of crying.
What do you mean?
And that is, like, if you're walking and you stub your toe against the bed or something like that, and you start crying, you know what I mean? That's different than an emotional cry.
It's different, but I don't know if it's viewed much different from a male's perspective.
But I'm thinking growing up, because you hear, you know, be tough, get back out there, you mm-hmm. know, stop crying, whatever, or stop being a crybaby. So I don't know. It's like a line. Like, if someone's calling you ugly, fat, whatever they're calling you, and you start crying, you know what I mean? They're going to tell you to toughen up, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. have some tough skin or something. You know what I mean? So I think there's different levels and different areas of crying.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has a different situation. So once again, who's to say what they're saying to that person? It might be triggering something.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I think a lot of, not all the time, but I think a lot of time it's triggering something. And I think what parents need to do, and any adult, a teacher, a coach, they need to see if a child's extra sensitive, if that's possibly triggering. And I think that's something that we're now discussing as a society. I think back in the day it was like, he's weak sauce. He's mm-hmm. a wimp, mm-hmm. you know, because he's crying. So I'm actually happy, and I'm with the progress we're making. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was doing this on purpose or realized it. But when your president can cry, I think it's actually a great thing, you know, because there's no other figure in our at least in our country, but that's supposed to be more stoic than the president. So if he can cry for legitimate reasons, then I think it's huge for society.
But that's the thing. He may be the president, but at the end of the day, he's human. Mm-hmm. He's human first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And humans cry. So you can say he's not being tough, he's not being this, that, the other. He's being human.
See, but that goes to my question, which I agree with completely. But he has daughters.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
like you're saying, if he had two boys.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Taj. I actually think if they were boys and not sons and not daughters, I think he would still cry because I think he's a strong figure.
I agree.
But I don't think it would have been 8 times in 8 years. I think maybe in 2 or 3.
Yeah.
That's bad, 8 times in 8 years. That's once a year.
No, just
in public.
I think Taj is right. I think men of sons have it more difficult. And I could probably, from my own personal experience, when I had Royal, I was very strong on him about being tough and being a man. And a lot of it was because, you know, he was, in a sense, the oldest child. I had 2 older stepchildren, but I knew they'd be adults and go on their route. And Royal would be closer to the following children. So I wanted him to be very strong and tough. And when I had my girls...
Wait, hold on. Can I stop you?
Yeah,
absolutely. So you tied being strong and tough to not crying?
Yeah. Okay. No, mistakenly. Yeah. I mean, not as bad as some I've seen. Yeah. You know, if you don't cry, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. Not like that. But, you know, you got to be strong. You got to be tough. This world's hard. I've said all those things, seeing tears mm-hmm. from Royal. Not every time, but I've made that mistake. And I think when I've had girls and seeing them cry and just it kind of opens you up in a sense and gets you more in touch with the emotional side, I guess. So now when Royal, you know, he doesn't cry a lot, but now when he cries, I'm not so like, you got to be tough, man. You know, I'm more sympathetic.
So mm-hmm. so let me ask a question. Is it possible to be tough and cry?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know, and I think that's something that, I don't know, I think I'm hoping men, and I would strongly think a lot of our listeners are females, but I hope, you know, at least females who may be dealing with this with a spouse or a friend, don't be afraid to play on this, because men out there, it's okay to cry. It's actually, you're letting emotions out. I'm not telling you to cry at your workplace. I'm not telling you to go to the bar and just start crying, but you can't be so stoked that don't equate not crying, or don't equate crying with being weak. You know,
it's holding in your emotions.
A lot of times it's brave to let it go, and you're releasing something, and when you do it, you're teaching your kids that it's okay to let go. Because I think a lot, going back to Miss King, Dr. King's quote, is a lot of, they don't know, they hold it in. They hold it in and they start turning to dangerous things.
You know, it's interesting, because obviously, and I don't know why this happened, but during the show that we filmed, it seemed like I was crying every other day because I was going through so much in so many different categories and dealing with mom. It's just, every other day, it seemed like I was faced with something that made me cry. And the way we shot it, it just seemed like every episode I was crying pretty much. And some of the feedback that I got back was, he's a baby. He's always crying.
Yeah.
So that was hard for me to hear. But at the same time, I know what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I didn't really care, because mm-hmm. I don't care what people think of me in that way. And it's okay. It's human to me, you know, and it should be to everyone. It's human, or else we wouldn't be able to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel.
100%.
All right.
So sorry for crying on TV, but whatever.
All right. We're going to take one more phone call. Probably our last. Who do we have on the phone?
I'm Toya from France.
How are you?
Hey.
From France?
Hi. I'm fine. And you?
We're doing good.
We're doing good. Thanks for calling.
You're
representing Europe, and what's your opinion on men crying?
I like that. I wanted to say to Terrell that when I saw the episode, it just broke my heart to see him cry, but I think it's fine. Men should cry.
Beautiful.
I just you know, it's been a long time that I wanted to call, but I was so scared to get confused with my words. So please excuse me if my English is not that good, but I'm very nervous and shy.
Oh, that's great.
You're doing excellent. You're doing
excellent.
I understand.
Thank
everything
you.
You're
I wanted to call because I've got an issue.
Yeah.
I'm 38 and I've been married for 7 years now, and my husband just decided to leave home and to divorce. Few months ago, and he just moved on to another city, which is quite far from my place. The thing is that we've got a baby,
mm-hmm.
Who is two, and I just don't know how to protect him from that hard situation. I do worry a lot for him, and I just don't know how to behave. I don't know if I shall talk to him or explain him the situation, or just do as if it's okay and it doesn't affect me. Well, I don't know.
So before we get, first of all, again, we're not licensed therapists, so don't. But this is our opinion. Todd, you want to go first? You were ready to jump on.
No, for me, you know, my mom was very open to her and my dad's divorce, you know, but, you know, so I knew her emotions, you know, how she felt, and she would always discuss with me how she felt, and I didn't feel like she was hiding stuff from me, and it actually was very helpful, because I knew that she was going through these emotions. I think, you know, if I didn't know that, I probably would have thought, well, she doesn't care, or she's, you know, this or that, I'm the only one caring. So I, you know, it helped me a lot in that way, just knowing, because you have to remember, I don't have any kids, but we're human, you know, and that's the thing, and it's okay to be human, and it's okay to feel pain, it's okay to, you know, to be hurt, and I think showing those emotions, it really teaches your kid to identify with it as well.
How old is your son now? Did you say two?
Yeah, he's 2 years old, yeah.
So, for me, I don't know, I think I've said this a lot publicly. For me, one of the hardest things for me to get over was when my parents divorced. I think like 10, 11, 12 is the toughest age to deal with a divorce. because I think you're still kind of, in an American term, is wet behind the ears, where you live in this fairy tale world where everything's going to be great. And then when your parents divorce, it's like the two people you love the most aren't together anymore. And that's so painful for, that was incredibly painful for me. Mm-hmm. I think your son is young to the point where he's not going to have to deal with it to the level I did. My advice is you have to just be strong. The strong person you are, you have to be courageous. You have to show your son a lot of love. And the one thing I'm going to ask, because I know for women, a lot of men who just get up and leave, it's very easy. I know you want to just, you know, bad talk him and slam him in front of your son, but I don't advise you to do that. You know, you could talk to how freely how you feel about him to your friends, to maybe, you know, your parents or close family members. But I don't advise you to do that to your son, because no matter what, your son is always going to look up to his father. And
yeah, I know. And I see that he misses him every day.
Yeah.
And what breaks my heart the most is thinking and seeing that my baby is just missing one of his parents all the time.
Yeah.
That is very hard for me.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say too is young, and I would just say daddy's away right now, you know, and just say, is there anything, you know, I could, you know, I don't know if he's trying to play catch, I don't, or kick the ball around, but I think you have to kind of try your best and be that for him, because you can't, from what I'm hearing, you can't rely on your ex-husband to do that, you know. So you kind of have to wear both hats. That's my opinion. You have to kind of just be and be the bigger person, and to branch off how we started with Martin Luther King, you got to do it in a very positive and as loving in a way as possible. I think that's the best way, not only for your son but also for you, so you don't hold on to any extra resentment.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm feeling like helpless. Because I would like to protect him, and I want him to be happy and to be balanced, and so I don't want him to feel unloved. So I'm saying him, I love you like 100 times a day, but I don't know if I do right doing this, because maybe it's too much.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think it's too much. I don't think you can oversay you love a child. So you're the one person that your son is going to always know that you love that loves him unconditionally, you know. And and there may be, when he's 14, 15, some friends that try to waver that bond you have with him, and all this you're doing now is laying that solid foundation for him. So I don't think you're doing it too much, you know. You got to live with love, you know, and don't worry about it. And I would reach out, you know, in a very peaceful way to you know, your ex-husband, and see, you know, let him know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, let him know what's going on and say, you know, I really think it would be great if you can come and spend X amount of time with your son. He needs you. And us men can be very hard-headed, and we can get lost in life. But I think you telling him that, eventually he'll come to grips and be the person he's supposed to be. And remember, remember though that you bad talking or being like keeping him away from your son is only going to hurt your son. So I don't advise that.
I don't want to do that. Even if I hate him now, and I'm feeling very angry and very sad, but I don't want I don't want my son just not to see his father, because I know he needs him.
Yeah. And I assume up until him leaving, he was a solid, you know, you had good vibes from him, and he was a good person, correct?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't advise bad-mouthing him, or I would just be, you seem incredibly sweet, I would just have a conversation with him. You know, and just say, this is for our son. You know, he needs you. You know, even if it's to take out for dinner or whatever, you gotta stay in his life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
And
okay.
also, there's, you know, there's no shame in getting professional help too, if you feel that you need it as well. You know, that stigma.
Yeah.
So you know, this is our opinions and all that stuff.
At the moment, I don't really have support next to me. My family and friends, they just live far from my place. So that's very hard. It's a very hard situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're here as much as possible we can, and just know we're thinking of you, and you got to make that bond with you and your boy incredibly strong, you know, because yeah. I really believe, you know, although there's a strength in numbers, I really believe two is what you need, you know, and if you and your son's bond is incredibly strong, you guys will be all right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for your words, and thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in, and stay strong, okay?
Okay, I just wanted to tell you, you know, last year was a very bad year for me, but still there were good moments, mm-hmm. and the best of all was when I saw you in Amsterdam, and I met you so closely, so I would never thank you enough for saving my life last year.
That's so sweet. Well, it was wonderful to see you, too, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, and take care of yourself, okay?
Merci, à bientôt. Bye.
Bye. That's sweet. Yeah. Sweet. Todd, you got anything, Terrell?
No.
Any last kind of words?
I love doing this show.
Yeah, it's fun.
I want to say that. And thank you for everyone that's calling in or tweeting, you know.
Participating
not only on, you know, Twitter, but Facebook, the forums, and the support and love that you're giving to not only us, but to others.
Yeah. We're here every Wednesday, 1 to 2. We're sponsored by our Mother's Foundation. We call it our Mother's Foundation, but it's not just us three. There's a whole board that are trying to make this working hard and make it grow and make the grieving process okay, and to learn from it and to overcome, and wrong word, but to navigate through it and to inspire you to be a better person. That's pretty much it. So next, Taj, great topic, by the way, with your teletage. I'm very impressed with you. You get the star today. Your first one since we started. Terrell, you'll have a little intro for Taj?
Yeah.
Okay, tell it, Taj. I like it. You okay with tell it, Taj?
I like that.
Okay. Anything else, Terrell Jackson?
No.
We're good. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.